You're listening to the WBAA Purdue Sports Podcast. I'm Sam Clement, along with student reporter Rob McMahon, and a busy week again in Purdue sports. And Rob, we'll start first with the men's basketball team. A tough loss Sunday night as they fall to Alabama in the finals of the Puerto Rico tip-off. 65-56, your final in San Juan. It was a tough start for the Boilermakers. They get down 11-0 early, got the lead late in the second half, but too much athleticism for the Crimson Tide of Alabama. Rob, what did you see in that game?
Just watching that one, Boilers were down by one at halftime, had a real chance coming into the second half to come out, make some noise, be able to take the lead. Ended up giving up a 19-4 run midway through the second half and just really kind of collapsed there at the very end of the game.
The Boilermakers were challenged throughout the tournament. A tough opening round game against Iona, 91-90. Iona had a chance to win the game with a last-second shot that fell a little bit off. They then were again challenged by Temple the following day, 85-77, were able to advance to the championship. Again, they ran into an Alabama team that they blew out last year, but Alabama under Anthony Grant, much improved, very athletic. They really did a good job pressing Purdue's offense with their defense. The Boilermakers had been shooting very well from the outside, Ryan Smith in particular, but the Crimson Tide did a very good job forcing some tough shots for the Boilermakers.
When you're only shooting 26% against a good team like Alabama is this year, you're going to really have a hard time winning. The defense wasn't able to step up the way it needed to in a game like this, and it really showed in the final outcome.
We talked about this a little bit last week, that Purdue really misses Juwan Johnson's inside presence. There wasn't a lot there. They're relying quite heavily on the three-point shot. They were just 5 of 22 from behind the arc yesterday and 11 of 19 from the free throw line. Those are numbers that have to be a little bit concerning for Matt Painter moving forward. Again, they fall in the finals to a very good, mind you, a ranked Alabama team, 5-0 ranked in the top 15 in just about any poll that you see. So the Boilermakers are going to try to regroup this week and try to get back on track. They will face Western Michigan, who is another team in the Puerto Rico tip-off. They had quite a bit of a struggle in the challenge and did not fare so well, played in the last place game. So Purdue with a pretty good opportunity here on Wednesday back at home at Mackey to get a win against the Broncos.
Yeah, they have a couple of pretty decent games coming back home to West Lafayette. They got Western Michigan, and then they got Coppin State. They take on an improved Miami team from last year. And then I think their next big challenge will be traveling out to Cincinnati on December 3rd when they have to travel to take on Xavier.
Yeah, that Coppin State game on Saturday has been moved up to noon because of the football game against IU, which we'll talk about here in a second. But as Rob said, some opportunities to get some home wins for the Boilermakers. They're at home for the next three. Again, it starts with Western Michigan on Wednesday. They're going to try to bounce back from the loss against Alabama. But in the early season, Matt Painter's club 4-1, their toughest test. They came up a little bit short, but some prime opportunities to get back on track here coming up in the coming week, starting Wednesday with Western Michigan.
And we need to have a balanced attack, whether it's, you know, three guards that have 10 points, if it's three post players that have 10 points, it doesn't really matter. And I think that is why we'll be harder to defend as we continue to play and go down the stretch.
Purdue women's coach Sharon Versip talking about her team's balanced attack in their win against Tennessee Martin Sunday, a 65-39 win for the Boilermakers. Sam Ostrello leading the way. She had 13 points, 10 of those coming in the second half, and the Boilermakers off to a 4-0 start after having a midweek challenge on the road at Bowling Green. They got a one-point win in that one. So, Rob, some early season test that the Sharon Versip's Boilermakers have passed so far.
And these weren't easy matches by any stretch. University of Tennessee Martin comes in with the highest average scoring in NCAA basketball. They were scoring over 80 points a game coming into the game, and we were able to hold them to just over 30. So, I mean, that's a huge accomplishment for the women's team. And definitely, it always seems to be a story of two halves for the women's basketball team. First half, they were a little bit sluggish getting off the ball, being able to get down court to get baskets. Like you said, Sam Osrell led the team with 13 points, 10 of them in the second half. Brittany Rayburn, the senior leader on the team, had 2 points in the first half. All of her the rest of her 10 points coming in the second half. It seems to be that this is a very heavy, strong second half team that I don't know what Coach Versip is telling him in the locker room at halftime, but she needs to tell him that before the game.
Yeah, a bit of the ultimate motivator. Just to give you some statistics, between the first and the second half, the Boilermakers just 9 of 30 first half shooting against University of Tennessee Martin. In the second half, 16 of 34, so they came out much more aggressive for the ball game. That was their total field goal shooting percentage. They shot much better for the game, just shot 30% in the first half, finished the game shooting about 47%. And they got, as you heard Sharon Versip said, a balanced attack. Sam Osterello, as we said, 13. Brittany Rayburn had 11. Courtney Moses had 12 points. The guard also had 8 rebounds, so some nice work out of her. And Alex Guyton had 9 points as well. So the Boilermakers showing some balance, and as you said, defensively, were stout as well. The shooting statistics for Tennessee Martin, much like the men's team, just 6 of 22 from behind the arc and just 15 of 54 for the ball game. So a very good job by the Purdue defense to hold this Tennessee Martin team to a tough day shooting.
It wasn't just even the tough day shooting. To force 20 turnovers in a game is really good for this team. The Boilers only gave up 7 turnovers, which they haven't done that in about 7 years now, had that few turnovers in a game.
And very much balanced in team play as well. Not only do they have just the 7 turnovers, 20 assists for the ball game as well, and that's on 25 field goals. So the team sharing the basketball as well, and a nice start to the season for Sharon Versip's club as they get the 65-39 win, improved to 4-0. They are back on the floor tomorrow, which is Tuesday night, at home against Chicago State. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off, and then they head to Cancun, and it'll be a nice holiday break for them. They play Tulane and Kansas. Those are the 2 scheduled games for the Boilers in Cancun. And then when they come back, a tough slate of games at Duke, and then at home against Texas A&M and Notre Dame. Again, all 3 of those teams are ranked in the top 15. But a nice start to the season for Sharon Versip's club. They are 4-0, coming off a 65-39 win over Tennessee Martin. Rob, maybe the downfall of the weekend for the volleyball team as they see their 10-game winning streak come to an end, a tough loss against a very good powerhouse nationally Penn State team, the volleyball team losing 3-1.
Last week I mentioned that the volleyball team was probably going to end up going 3-1 over the next 2 weeks. Well, so far it's coming pretty close to being true. They were able to go to Ohio State and sweep them in 3 straight sets, something that Coach Shondell was not really expecting. He was expecting a much stronger match out of them. And then they went into Penn State. We've always had issues against Penn State. And, I mean, they've won 4 straight national championships. They're not going to be an easy team to knock off. And so they brought down the Boilers' 10-game win streak.
Earlier in the week, Purdue beat Ohio State. It was the start of their 4-game road trip. They swept that one 3-0 in Columbus, and then, as we've mentioned, go to University Park, drop the 3-1 match to Penn State. The road challenge continues for Purdue. It will be on Wednesday. They go to Indiana, rival IU. That's a 7 o'clock match, and then at Wisconsin. So a chance to get back on track against 2 teams that Purdue should beat. Rob, what do they have to do to make sure that happens?
Indiana, it's a big rival game. Indiana hasn't played to par, but one thing that the Hoosiers can put their hat on every year is if they go out and if they can beat Purdue, then it's been a successful year for them. We just can't go in there and expect to win. The team will have to go in there and work as hard as they did against Nebraska, against Ohio State. They can't just kind of slough off this Indiana team. And Wisconsin's been making some headway in the NCAA polls. They knocked off Illinois a couple weeks ago. They got a couple big wins, including one over Penn State 2 weeks ago. So they're not a team that you can easily just overlook. And they've been getting votes lately. Given if we can get both these, if we can get 2 wins, then it'll definitely put us in a good place going into the NCAA tournament next month.
Purdue is 25-4 overall, 13-4 in the conference. Again, 2 road games to finish out the regular season. They're 7-3 away from home. Rob, obviously this is a team that has had a very good season. They're ranked number 8 in the nation as we speak. Where do you see this team going in the postseason? What do you think their seeding looks like?
I say with the loss to Penn State is a good team, and the NCAA, the AVCA coaches poll isn't as much of a what have you done for me lately. It's a what has your season been so far. So I don't see Purdue falling too far. I expect them to end up either in the 9 or 10 seed. If they're able to win the next two matches, I believe they stick right around number 9, in which case I foresee them having a rematch against Texas, who knocked them out of the NCAA tournament last year in possibly the Sweet 16.
So it'd be very easy to get motivated for a matchup against the Longhorns. But first things first, the regular season, it'll come to a close this week. First Wednesday at Indiana, 7 o'clock start in that one. And then on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, the Boilermakers on the road at Wisconsin. That'll be an 8 o'clock start for the 25-4 and number 8 ranked nationally Purdue Boilermaker volleyball team.
We're not going to hang our heads. We made that decision in the locker room before I came into the press conference. We're going to get ready to play. We have to. Prize on the line.
Purdue head football coach Danny Hope talking after the Boilermakers' tough 31-21 loss to Iowa this week at home. A big loss for the Boilermakers in the sense that now it's basically a do or die for their season. They have to win this weekend on the road at IU to qualify for a bowl. And, Rob, let's just first take a look back at that Iowa game. Purdue stuck around. You know, it was a close game heading into the fourth quarter. The first play of the fourth quarter, Iowa gets a 51-yard touchdown pass from Vandenberg to Marvin McNutt, who had just a monster game, 151 yards receiving. And that really turned the tide, put Iowa pretty comfortably ahead, and Purdue was really never able to claw back.
It's always difficult. Purdue allowed Iowa over 400 yards of total offense compared to the Boilers, making only about 282 total yards of offense. It's difficult to stay in the game when you're being that outgained offensively. Your defense is always on the field. It makes it hard to get points, but the defense was able to make four fumbles. We're able to convert on two of them to get the offense back out there. And, they stuck around. They had a chance all the way down to the very end to the Boilers' last drive.
Yeah, the game was tied 14-14. Brandon Taylor recovered a fumble in the end zone. A nice play by Dwayne Beckford. But after that, Iowa really took command, as you said, 408 yards of total offense, which was a bit of a surprise for Purdue because they held Ohio State to around 290 the week before. So a bit of a step backward for the Purdue defense. And the road might get a little bit tougher this week because they could be without Dwayne Beckford. There was a bit of a scrum at the end of the game. Beckford was ejected for throwing a punch. I think the ref had the greatest explanation of that. He was excusing himself from the ballgame. So the Boilermakers could be without Dwayne Beckford. Rob, he's obviously one of the better players on this defense, one of the stronger linebackers. Not having the full slate of guys in such a big game against IU, how do you think that affects Purdue coming up this weekend?
Last year IU came into West Lafayette looking to kind of salvage their season. They pulled off the big win and were able to take the bucket home. So I don't think that losing a player like Beckford is going to have too much of an impact, because every one of those players is going to want to go out and realize that they took the bucket from us last year. We need to go down there. We need to get that bucket back. And even more importantly, we need to go down there. We need to make our final statement to be able to punch our ticket to the postseason.
As you said, the old oaken bucket, it's on the line. Indiana, as you said, they won last year. The last time they won in Bloomington was 2007, so they're trying to keep that bucket in Bloomington. And after the game against Iowa, we talked to Kawan Short about this rivalry, about this game. Even though it's been a rough season for IU, there's still a lot on the line for both teams.
Indiana's a good team still, no matter what their record is. Offense is pretty good. We just had to come out fired up and ready to go. I mean, our seniors is their last go around. So, I mean, as far as the young class, we just got to set examples and just feed off the seniors, really.
Purdue leads the all-time series against their rival 70-37-6 in Bloomington. The Boilers with the advantage there as well, 33-16-2 overall. Rob, a lot more on this game than just the old oaken bucket. It's Purdue's chance to qualify for a bowl. It'd be the first time under Danny Hope, the first time since 2007. What do the Boilermakers have to do to get to that bowl eligibility, and what would it mean for the program if they're not able to do so?
First off, they need to limit their mistakes. Against Iowa, they had two turnovers on three fumbles. They need to be able to protect the ball, and they need to keep the offense out on the field. They can't give up a bunch of defensive yardage on every drive. They can't allow Indiana, who hasn't been playing as expected or has just been playing very poor football all season long, to be able to go out there and play Indiana's game. The Boilers are going to have to get out there. They're not a quick strike offense. They need to be able to produce their long drives to be able to get down the field and take advantage of their scoring opportunities. They can't give up balls in the red zone.
And if you had any questions about the quick strike offense of the Hoosiers, just look at their game last week against Michigan State. They fall 55-3. That game was in East Lansing. It was a senior day for the Spartans, but still, Michigan State laid it pretty good on IU, and they've had a rough year, just 1-9 overall. But again, it's a rivalry game. You throw those out the window. It's really, basically, this is IU's bowl game. If they win here, this kind of makes their season. It'll be senior day down in Bloomington. So a lot to get excited about for the Hoosiers, and Purdue, again, has to go down there. They've got to get the win, and even if they win the game, they're not guaranteed a spot in a bowl, but at least gets them in the conversation. Rob, just you talked about maybe what they have to do to win. Just to have this team go to a bowl after the season that they've had, kind of the win-loss, the ups and downs, to have finally getting over that hump and get to the bowl, what would that mean for the Purdue football team moving forward?
Definitely, if they can make it to the bowl, then that's a great statement, especially for recruiting. You can say, you know what, we've had issues, but we're finally getting this team in the direction that needs to be under Coach Hope. And it'll give recruits a good thing, like, hey, you know what, we can go here and we can help get to these bowl games and hopefully get to a better bowl game eventually. This season, it's going to be tough given the fact that we haven't been able to put two wins in a row together. We haven't had a decent streak all season long. Our notable wins are against a ranked Illinois team that has since then kind of crumbled and faltered towards the last half of the season, and an Ohio State team which hasn't quite met their full expectations of where they were a year ago. So it's going to be difficult to determine which bowl Purdue would be able to go to. But if they're able to get there, then it would be a great stepping stone. It'd be a great way to just advance this team going on in the future.
And we talked to Ontavian Edison, who's having a pretty good season individually. He now has 19 straight games with a reception, had a really good game this past week against Iowa with over 90 yards and 9 receptions. We just talked to him about what this game against IU means for Purdue, what it means for the Purdue football program.
The rivalry is a very big thing, but I think more importantly, this week we're going to focus strictly on getting to that bowl. You know, we haven't been to a bowl. I haven't been to a bowl yet since I've been here. But I think us and as well as for our seniors, you know, we're seeing the bigger picture.
So Purdue very much focused on getting that old oaken bucket back to West Lafayette, but also focused on continuing their season into the month of December and getting to postseason play. So it'll be Purdue and IU, the final game of the regular season. It's a 3:30 kickoff in Bloomington. The Boilermakers looking to improve to 6-6 and get in bowl contention. A busy week of Boilermaker sports, as always, as we enter into the Thanksgiving break. We'll be back next week with a recap of all the activities from Purdue sports. For Rob McMahon, I'm Sam Clement. You've been listening to the Purdue Sports Broadcast on WBAA.